Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFORadio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that would help us grow. Just before we jump into the show, guys, I just want to thank you all for listening. The feedback has been absolutely amazing on the 4 episodes that we've released so far. So I just want to thank you for tuning in each week and sharing it with your friends and family, because the more people that you share it with, the more people that might come on the show. And we want to release this show weekly, so we really need your help, listeners. So keep doing what you're doing, and if you can keep sharing it, keep telling people about it, we can hopefully get some more listeners and get some more people on the show. Now, I also want to thank a couple of people who've left us some 5-star reviews on iTunes. And the first one I'm going to read out goes, "I found this podcast most entertaining. I really like the Australian content. It makes the podcast feel more like an experience from home and not somewhere else in the world. I will recommend this podcast to anyone who likes to hear about the paranormal experiences of others in an interview-style format. The production quality is very good, which makes for an overall engaging experience." Now, that review has come from Paul, who actually is the host of another amazing podcast, the Mysteries Abound podcast. Now, if you like stories that are weird, unusual, perplexing, I recommend going over to iTunes and having a listen to Paul's podcast, because it is absolutely amazing. If you're not listening to that show, I really recommend going over there to check that out. And the other one I'm going to read out this week comes from Serene Elise on iTunes. "Awesome job, Cade. I'm loving it." Thanks, Serene. I hope you do. And I hope you enjoy this episode. We're joined by Chris, and Chris has got an absolutely amazing Yowie encounter. Let's get into it. I want to welcome Chris to the show. Chris, thanks for coming on.
No worries at all, mate. Pleasure. We've got an old story that not too many people have heard.
Yeah, and you said your encounter happened all the way back in the 1980s. Do you mind taking us back to, I guess, the first time you encountered what you're going to be telling us about?
Yeah, mate. I lived in a treehouse in the bush about 4 kilometres out of a little town called Scott's Head back in the 80s. It was around about 86, I think. Might have been 85, but moved into a tree out in the bush, you know, as a kid, and I was a little bit, wary of the dark as it was at that stage. And anyway, one night I didn't have a kitchen; I had a campfire, and when it rained, you know, there was no campfire, so you know, I used to get invited into town quite a bit. The dinner and stuff, you know, and then I have to walk in after it. And the first night I walked home, I got about 2 kilometres out the road, and all of, it was midwinter and it was quite cold, and all of a sudden it got warmer, noticeably warm, you know, like that warm that you'd sort of stop and go, wow, really warm in this little, you know, little area. And so yeah, it got warm, and I noticed that. I was walking along a bit further, and I could hear like solid thuds in the bush, you know, like just maybe 10 meters. Like it's old dirt. An old country road where the bush comes pretty much right up to the road. You know, it's only 2 meters away from the road, and you know, thick bush is like 4 meters away, 5 meters away. And this was in the bush, you know. And every time I took a step, it'd take a step. And I was freaking out. And my dog had a German Shepherd, and she was like stressing to the point where she ended up breaking the chain. It was, you know, about 500 meters in. She broke the chain and just ran off ahead of me. Like she'd never done that before. She's a really little dog. And she ended up going home. And so there I was on my own. And this, you know, every time I took a step, this thing would take a step with me, and it's freaking out. I've lived in the bush all my life, you know, and I pretty much know what every animal sounds like. You can get some pretty big roos, but, you know, they've got tails, not 2 feet, and, you know, sounded about the same weight as a horse or a cat or a cow. But once again, this thing had 2 feet. And not four, and it just kept following me, you know. And, I was freaking. I had my eyes closed by this point. I was in the middle of the road, and every time I'd look down every 10 seconds just to make sure that the white line was underneath my feet, you know, and just looking up at the gap between the trees, making sure I was on the, you know, in the middle of the road, and just trying to get out of there. And it kept following, and it got to the point where I thought, it sounded like it was getting closer and closer, and it got to the point where I stopped and thought, right, I'll test this, you know. And so I'd take a step, and it'd take a step, and I'd yell out something, and there'd be silence, and I'd yell out again, and there'd be silence, and then at one point it sounded that close that I thought I was going to go for sure. I thought I was dead. And I turned and just ran screaming at it, you know. And most animals sort of freak out a bit of that and take a couple of steps back. But this thing just stood its ground, didn't move, didn't make a sound, which scared me even more. And I was sort of like, by this stage, I ran into the bush thinking, come and get me, you know. And then with the reaction of silence that I got from it, it was kind of like enough to scare me even more. So I stopped and ran back out of the bush and tried to get out of there again, and it just started following me again, you know. And this went on for about a kilometre. And finally I reached my destination. Like, you know, I lived a kilometre to the right inside the road, and this thing was following me from the left-hand side of the road. And by the time I reached where I get off the road to go to the treehouse, it just stopped on the other side of the road. I thought for sure it was going to follow me in there, but it never did. And that was pretty much the first night, you know, this ended up going on for maybe 2 or 3 years every time I walked home. So,
Oh, wow. And how often did you used to walk home? Was it almost a nightly thing?
No, it wasn't a nightly thing. It was, you know, maybe 3 to 4 nights a week. So it was pretty regular. But
yeah, and it would follow you every time.
Every night, yeah. Yeah, it got to the point where the dog didn't even flinch. I didn't flinch. I sort of greeted it. I knew when to expect it. you get the same. I used to think there was like it had a nest there just because of the warmth, you know. Maybe it lived there. I don't know. But as soon as the warmth come along, then that's when it used to follow me around. And but where I lived, on the side that it was on, there's a market garden. Like some, it used to be an old banana plantation. So there's acres and acres of bananas, and they just go ripe and fall off the vine, you know, off the bunch. And like I used to live off the bananas up there, you know, half the time. I was a vegetarian at the time, and you know, I wasn't collecting doll money, so I wasn't working either. So I used to sort of have to live off my wits a bit, and the banana plantation was a saviour. And there was also a market garden not far from there. The old guy that owned the banana plantation in the like mid 1900s was the grandfather of the guy that ended up acquiring the land and put a market garden up there too. So there was kind of like food everywhere, and the warmth come maybe 500 meters, 100 meters after the market garden, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I think food situation, and that's got a lot to do with it. Plus, being in the mid 80s, I didn't do any research on it, computer wise, because there were none, and I lived in a tree. So I asked around a bit, you know, like people that had grown up in the area that were my age. I didn't really want to ask older people, because they would have thought I was an idiot. I already had a reputation as being that guy that lived in the tree in the bush out the road, you know. So, I didn't go too hard, but I asked a lot of friends and stuff, you know, like the ones who I thought were worth asking, the ones that lived around my area, and they all had sort of weird experiences that they couldn't really explain. And some of them had even had, like, experiences where they thought, yeah, it's definitely like a yeah. And they'd spoken to some elders, Aboriginal elders around the place, and apparently there was a bit of a legend. And the cedar fellas from the turn of the 19th century, you know, like the first settler guys, used to go in there and knock down a lot of trees and stuff. And anyway, they had a camp up there, and they used to make their own home brew, and that was apparently called Yarrahappini Yowie juice. So I've looked that up online recently, and I can't find any records of Yarrahappini Yowie juice. But anyway, that's a story I was told. But yeah, that's pretty much the Yowie story. Never spotted this thing. Never had eye contact with it. Can't tell you for sure what it was.
But, yeah, because that's exactly what I was going to ask you there, is if, you know, if there was anything that kind of made this solidify that this was a Yowie. Because did you have any, did you ever go back and see if there was any footprints or maybe any markings or maybe hair caught on trees, anything like that?
I looked out for a bit of hair and stuff. I never actually walked into the bush during the day. It never really even occurred to me, to be honest. I was only 15, you know, and but by that stage I'd accepted it, and I knew it wasn't going to hurt me at all. In fact, I used to tell my friends, it's all right, a friend walking me home. So I never felt threatened or anything by it. So in fact, it probably would have been, you know, I ended up leaving the area first, but I probably would have been, you know, saddened by it not walking me home one night if that had happened. But, yeah, it certainly gave me a lot of confidence walking through the bush. I'm not scared of anything now. you know, like, because it was huge. But, I mean, I don't know how big it was, but it weighed a lot. And, it was a pretty crazy experience, and when I tell people about it, they sort of, you know, you can sort of see in their eyes, you know, whether or not you can see them sort of laughing on the inside. But yeah, it's sort of one of those things where there's no other explanation for it. It's I mean, you go from legends, you know, and stuff, and then you try and weigh up, well, what's that big that lives in the bush? And there just isn't anything in Australia that is that big that lives in the bush, you know. And I'm still sort of blown out by it. That's why I can still tell the story now. It's like 30 years later, 40 years later, but still tell the story the same way because, I'd love to know exactly what it was. And, you know, I hear a lot of Yowie stories where I just go, no, that's not right. And, something regressive and this, that, and the other. And I just think, you know, maybe it's just a crock. But, you don't hear many where they say it wasn't aggressive, you know, or anything like that. This thing was not aggressive at all. In fact, it seemed curious and friendly, you know, sort of wanted to hang out with me.
How did you go with it over the years? Did you find if it got any friendlier? Was there nights where it may have been a little bit off, if it was maybe frustrated or anything like that? You felt any aggression at all at any point?
No, never. It was always just the same. Apart from my own fears on the first night, it was always the same. It was just like, yep, here he is. Let's go.
Yeah.
And I'd get to the gate at where I was going to walk off the side of the road, and he'd just stop there and you wouldn't even hear him walk back. He'd just, like, stand there watching me.
Okay, and you say he never crossed the road because you said you lived in a tree, which I think would be the most ideal place for a 15-year-old. You know, I don't think many 15-year-olds would say no to living in a tree house these days. So,
no, that's it. Well, that was the place I was renting was just falling apart, and one day I was having my first shave, and I got a knock at the door. I went to answer the door, and then as I opened the door, the bathroom ceiling fell in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So the place had to get condemned. And when it did, you know, there wasn't a lot of places available. And a friend of mine said, look, I've got a property out the road. I've got a, you know, he had a friend living on the property, but they were down the other end of it. And it was about, you know, 10 acres or so. And really big, and I was up one end on the river in a like a tree house, and they were in a house way down the other end of the property, so never really saw them at all. And my end was the bush end, and their end was the homestead end. So, and it was only supposed to be I was only supposed to be there 2 weeks, 3 weeks or whatever until I found a place, but it was that good living there that I ended up being there a couple of years. I ended up getting kicked out by the council for living in an unregistered dwelling. You know, that's how it happened. Otherwise, I'd probably still be there. You know, is that good?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, did you ever have? Could you ever hear the?
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Are we perhaps walking around underneath the treehouse or anything like that? Because it almost sounds like it would be quite familiar to you. I mean, considering that it, let's say, walked you home nearly every night for a couple of years there, and for it to show no signs of aggressiveness that first encounter, do you think this Yowie was perhaps already quite regular with you? It may have been watching where you live and things like that.
No, I possibly, but I don't think so. As for it coming up, like, I'd be like going to sleep at night, and out there you could hear everything, and the slightest noise, because I was on a creek, and I don't know if you know what swamp pheasants sound like, but they sort of go, whoop, 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 you know, like that. And there's swamp pheasants all the way up every river, and if you drop a pin down here, the swamp pheasant at the front will go whoop, 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 and then the one up there will go whoop, 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 and it'll happen all the way up the river. You can hear it go for kilometres. So you can't really, you know what I mean? You can't even really sneak around up in the bush out there.
Yeah, it's almost like your own little security system out there.
Exactly, yeah. It's like the bush telegraph, you know. It's So you know pretty much, you know, within 2 minutes, you'll know that something's happened 2 kilometres away. So it's quite funny. But, we had horses and actually we didn't have any cattle. We just had horses on the property, and quite often they'd wander up underneath the treehouse and stuff, and, you know, you'd be half asleep at night and you'd think, oh, hang on. And it'd be like, oh, no, that's a horse. You know, there's just different... You know, humans walk with 2 feet and horses walk with 4, and there's just that difference. But yeah, sometimes, you know, they'd rub them so they'd scratch themselves on the tree and you'd feel that and hear it, and yeah, that used to freak me out a bit. Mopokes were a bit scary. But one night I had a friend come out to my place, and I'd already had a thing organised with a mate, so like a mate in town. So I had to leave him at my place and go away for a couple of hours. And when I come back, I just jokingly said, you know, like, you didn't hear anything, you didn't get any visits or anything. And he's like, well, actually, were you here about an hour ago? And I'm like, well, no, I wasn't. And he's like, I had like a ladder I made out of paperbark, smaller paperbark trees. It was pretty rough, but it did the job, you know, and it was like, because it was made out of the paperbark, it was kind of flexy. So as you're coming up the ladder, it would bump, 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 you know, it would bump against the floorboards of the treehouse. He reckons someone or something come up the ladder, went down the ladder, come up the ladder, went down the ladder, but I don't know. I've got my doubts on that, because in all my years of living there, it never come on that side of the road.
Yeah, right. And when you're living there, did you ever have any, I guess, suspicions of the Yowie being there? Is there any urban legends around the area? Is this, it just kind of showed up one day for you?
There are the legends, but like I said, I never found out about them until after I had the experiences. I didn't even bother up, you know, it's just not back then. It wasn't the sort of thing you ask about. It just showed up and announced itself, and we went from there, and all I could put it down to was the fact, you know, was a Yowie. I mean, it's big. I didn't see it. Like I said, it's heavy. It had to be big. But, the strange thing was it was that heavy, but as it was walking through the bush, you know, it wouldn't break twigs or anything. It was just like silently moving through the bush, but with the thuds. So nothing was breaking underneath its feet. It wasn't pushing trees out of the way. It was a good mover in the bush.
And did you ever hear sounds from the Yowie, say there's calls or wood knocks, those the howls that you sometimes hear that Yowies and Bigfoots do? Did you ever hear anything like that on your property?
I've heard some weird noises, but I asked my grandfather, he's deceased now, of course, but my grandfather was a full bushy, you know, and I could explain noises to him, and he'd go, oh, you know, it's just a possum, or it's just this, or it's just that, you know, and there was nothing much. There are a few shrieks, but there's also other properties around. It could have been someone carrying on like an idiot, having fun. You know what I mean? Not really, no.
In those big open areas, the sound can really travel as well, so it could be pretty hard to pinpoint where that's coming from.
Yeah. You'd think out there it's really quiet, but I could hear the highway from, like, the highway was about 20 k's away from where I was, and I could hear trucks going on the highway, you know, motorbikes flying along the highway. You could hear someone turning off the highway onto the Scott's Head Road, and you could hear them basically drive the highway into Scott's Head. So yeah, sound travelled pretty well there. Also, Yarra Hapney, the mountain range itself that I'm talking about, I don't think it's classed, well, it wouldn't be classed as a mountain. I mean, it's just off the coast, but it's if you look it up, it's Yarra Hapney Peak, I think it is. It's behind Stewart's Point, around Scott's Head area, on the mid-north coast of New South Wales. And, you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, your Bigfoots and your Yowies and all that, they're all pretty much associated with kind of mountainous country. And this was the highest peak in the area. And, like, the views are just magnificent. And it's kind of like hang gliding over the beach, you know, just being there. And, yeah, it's sort of, you know, so from what I've heard, it's the mountainous sort of areas that they like. What else? Because the mountainous areas, the woody areas, there are valleys and little untouched ecosystems in there that, you know what I mean? It's people just could never get in there. It's the most, I think it's the most southerly rainforest in the southern hemisphere or something. So, yeah, it's pretty thick. And there'd be a lot of opportunities for bush tucker instead of the usual bland stuff that we usually get around Australia, you know, those kind of wetter areas. It's got a few fruits and stuff around to eat.
Yeah, absolutely. And with you saying there's banana farms around that area as well, I mean, the resources are pretty bountiful for anyone if they're kind of game enough to go onto the properties, so... Have you ever gone back there, Chris?
I haven't, unfortunately. Time sort of just defeated me, and I've had kids and stuff since then, you know, and, yeah, life's just, it's different. It's not as free as I used to be back then, you know. Now I've got kids and work and stuff. I can't get a chance, mate, but, yeah, unfortunately. But I do know... I was speaking to a friend of mine that knows the guy that owns the property, and apparently he was on death's door a couple of years, well, at least 20 years back. So I don't know if it's all still there or not, but yeah. But yeah, girlfriends I tell about it all, you know, oh, got to go and see the treehouse. So geez, I don't know if it's still there.
Yeah, that'll be a long shot, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So just before we wrap up there, Chris, when we were talking earlier, there was something that you said that really sparked my interest. And you said you've encountered green floating orbs on that property as well. Do you mind telling us a little bit about that?
Yeah, no worries at all. That was, it was quite mind-blowing at the time. Well, at the time, it wasn't. It was just freaky, and I ended up doing a runner on that one. But... what happened was, over the years, I kind of got sick of my Yowie friend, you know, and I got myself a motorbike at one point, and it didn't have any headlights on it. This is back in the day, so you know, road safety wasn't really enough, you know, something we cared about back then. And so, yeah, I had a torch strapped to my handlebars, which didn't work too good anyway. I rode home one night on the bike, and I got to the turn off the gate there where my Yowie friend used to like leave me, and I turned the bike off and went to open the gate, and just as I was about to click open the gate, I looked up and I spotted these what I thought were fireflies across the road in the long grass. This wasn't in the bush. It had been cleared. I don't know. For some reason, there was no growth back there, and it was just long grass instead of trees. And and the long grass actually backed onto a hill. So so anyway, I saw this going on. I saw two or three little specks of green light, and I didn't know if Australia had fireflies or not. But anyway, I was 15, 16. Oh, fireflies, you know. I was very attracted to things that glowed in the dark. So I raced over there, and I went to grab one. I didn't know what I was going to do with it, but I just had to have it, you know. So I went to grab one, and it started flashing aggressively. Like, instead of like flash, 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 it's just started going flash, 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 flash. And then as it did that, it sort of flew up and, you know, away from the reach, maybe got a foot up in the air. And then it started, as it was flashing, it grew. So it sort of got flashed and got bigger and bigger and bigger until I got to around about 2 or 3 foot wide diameter flashes, which is pretty wide. We're talking around a meter by, you know, a meter round. And bright green, like bioluminescence type flashing. It wasn't like a light or anything. It was that nature bioluminescence style. And anyway, it had gone from two or three to about 33. And all of them had started flashing. I'd only seen three at the first instance, two or three flashes here or there. It could have been the same one, just I wasn't sure. But anyway, when I went over there, I was just focusing on picking up one. And then as it went up and grew, all these others come out of the grass, like, you know, 30 or 40, maybe more. As soon as they grew and started flashing at me like that, I just felt threatened, and I ran across the road, opened up the fence, jumped on the bike, and floored it. But, yeah.
Mate, I don't blame you at all, because that sounds it's so unique. I've never heard of anything like that. The only thing that kind of comes to mind when I hear something like that is, you know, maybe it might have been Min Min lights or something like that.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I have, I spoke to people who claim to have seen Min Min lights, and they're apparently they don't have the green bioluminescence that these things have. You know, they're just like a blinding white light. This was bioluminescence, you know. It was like when you're at the beach and you get the phosphorus and it goes green, and yeah, it was that green color.
Have you ever encountered that again, or was that kind of a one-off type of moment for you there, Chris?
That's a total one-off, that one. Yeah. Never again, unfortunately, because if it did happen again, I'd probably hang in there a bit longer to try and work out what the hell it was, you know.
Yeah, and you don't have any ideas what that might have been? There's been no talk of anyone else seeing anything like that around the town? Nothing like that?
No. When I tell that story to people, I don't know if, you know what I mean, if people are buying it or not. But I don't get a lot of feedback from that one. The Yowie story, everyone loves that one. But the fairy lights, people just sort of, yeah, you go, oh yeah, and that's about it. But I've never really asked about it. I've never seen anything about it. You know what I mean? You know, when you hear, like, on your paranormal, you know, all that sort of stuff. I've never heard this of this in any other story.
Yeah, either have I, which is why I'm so intrigued by it. And hopefully one of the listeners out there maybe has had something quite similar. And if they have, maybe they can share that story with us and maybe we can kind of piece something together.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, I put it, it's something, I don't know, I don't think it's anything out there. I think it's just, I don't know, it's just got that that bioluminescence, which sort of is a giveaway that it's of this earth, you know. But I don't know. I don't know about that one. That was out there, and you know, I wasn't on any mushrooms or anything like that when I saw that one. Yeah, that was I just can't explain that one, and I just wish, I'm really disappointed in myself that I ran from it, you know. It's a bit of a primitive reaction, I think, where you just assume that everything's out to get you. But it was pretty aggressive, and they were in numbers, and I was outnumbered.
So. Look, Chris, it's probably best that you did run away, because if you don't know what it is, it could have been something that is maybe something that you didn't want to be messing with.
Yeah, true. And like I said, there was definite aggression in that one. That was, yeah, that was a bit out there. But with the big fella, he was fine. He just followed me home every night. And like I said, in the end, I ended up, you know, getting the bike and leaving him behind. It got old, you know. It happened that often. But yeah, the lights, that was sort of one of the only things that, you know, apart from, you know, I got a million shark stories I could tell you too, and that's probably up there with, you know, the fear factor is probably level with the shark on that one. So yeah.
Well, Chris, mate, I want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing those stories, especially the one about the lights, because that's really, really interesting. So I want to see if anyone out there has had something similar and see if we can put something together.
Yeah, cool. And it's been a pleasure telling it. I got a feeling that in 15 minutes after I put the phone down, I'll remember some crucial little piece of something that I missed out on. But that's it, how I remember it. It was a fair while ago. And I put it down to the alley, but I don't know.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/believeUFO radio. Until next time, stay safe, and you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.